Boss Man Show. Friend of the show, my buddy, Dietrich Taylor, coaches Fullerton Titans out there in the Big West. Coach, my man, how life out there in Cali, man?
The sun's shining. That's about the only good thing. The sun is shining, and you know, this virus is still running rampant, and we're still trying to be active and still trying to do our deal. I mean, the virus got us yesterday. We were supposed to play our first game of the season, and it got canceled because one of the other team one of their players tested positive. So we're trying to find the good with the bad and make the best out of the situation.
I hear that, because you got a game on tomorrow and a game on Sunday. So how's it going to be for you, man, finally get you guys out there, see what you have to work with finally? They're probably tired of playing each other. They're sick of scrimmaging each other, drilling each other. They want to see somebody different finally. So how's it going to be for you and your guys?
Yeah, I don't know. I told our team the other night I was going to wear a helmet and a face mask with a chin strap and a mouthpiece, because I think they're going to throw the ball all over the place. So we definitely shall see. You know, it'll be good for them to play somebody else, because they are a little bit leery and weary of playing each other, I should say. So they know what each other is doing and so on and so forth. So to play somebody else, I think, will give us another opportunity to put some stuff on film and then learn from, and then try to grow and develop and try to be better, you know, for league time, which starts December 27th and 28th. So, you know, anything is possible, but I do expect our guys that will play hard and trying to mimic some of the concepts that we've been practicing for the last month.
I know you guys had to pause for a bit there. So how was that, having to pause, get you guys – you know, you already was delayed because of state rules, and then you get back, and then you have to pause, and they lose that shape. So how's it been getting them back conditioned and having to remember what you have already put in prior to the pause?
You know, it's been a frustrating process, you know, not only for me, I think for the guys, you know, for them to work as hard as they worked for the short amount of time that they worked and get ready and get geared up mentally to try to, you know, play somebody else and learn each other as we do that. That's been frustrating, I think, but this group, in a lot of ways, probably better than I, have understood the significance of the virus and understood the significance of having the pause and but still trying to be better for it. You know, we had a couple of Zoom meetings and watching film together. I think more importantly, we talked about what it is that we want to stand for. I think we looked at a couple of the games that were being played and why teams were winning and why teams were losing. And once we got on the floor, we tried to mimic that. And like you said, the conditioning factor is the biggest thing, the biggest drawback, if you will, because guys aren't in shape and we don't expect them to be. We just expect them to go hard. And when they can't go hard anymore, hey, take a timeout or ask for a sub. And then, you know, we'll get the next guy in there. But I think learning how to pivot is the biggest thing, you know, as a program, just trying to pivot. Like, for instance, yesterday, I mean, we found out at shoot around, we were in the middle of shoot around and they came in and they said that the school had a player to test positive and you know, we had to learn how to pivot. I still kept it going in terms of the shoot around and the refs were coming. So why not just scrimmage each other and just make the best out of it and see what's going to happen in an effort to try to get us ready for tomorrow.
Most definitely. And also, you know, trying to put in your offense and defensive concepts. I know, how has that been? I know, you know, you can't put in everything you want because practice has been limited, right? So trying to play more basic, more simple, kind of play fast, but not too complex. How has that been, trying to get you guys to get in that mindset, knowing that everything is not in that you want to have in right now?
Again, it's frustrating just simply because we have the virus, and then also beside the virus, we also have four or five guys that have been out. And so slowly trying to integrate them back into some semblance of shape, but then also trying to get to learn each other. And so it's been crazy, man, to say the least. I think we've dumbed down what we're doing offensively and defensively as a staff. And then, you know, I find ourselves getting mad at certain things and realizing and recognizing, hey, man, you didn't spend any time teaching that. So these guys don't know. So what we're trying to do is just really focus on what we've taught them, really, really simplify that, and then hold them accountable to those things. And then whatever happens, it happens. You know, for instance, you know, getting through a certain type of screen, you know, hey, that's going to happen. You're just going to have to navigate it and see what you can do best. You know, now we will talk about that. You know, there's a way to do it as it happens, but there's a lot of things that are going to happen throughout the course of the game that you're probably not prepared for because of the lack of time for preparation. But one thing I heard Scott Brooks say a long time ago, and I think it is true today, that it's easy, it's hard. It's hard to play well. It's really, really hard to play well. But it's easy to play hard. It is very easy to play hard. And so we're trying to focus our group on those things and those concepts that we have put into effect and just really just go out there and play. I told our team yesterday, I said, hey, man, like, we've been teaching you guys and showing you guys things, so why don't you show us something, like what you're good at, what it is that you do. And so I don't know if that's the right thing to say, but it got our guys to play hard, and I thought we got a pretty good workout in last night.
Oh, yeah, maximizing their strengths and not focusing on weaknesses is a good thing to do. That's how my dad was as a coach. He always tried to find out what guys was good at and try to put them in positions to be good. Kind of like what D'Antoni does with his Rockets and the Phoenix and wherever. He always tried to play the guy's strengths. So I think that's a great idea for the young men and keep them happy so that something positive happening. So I feel like it's a great approach if you ask me.
Yeah. We're trying. We're trying, and it's almost like throwing darts in the dark. You know, we don't know what's going to work, what's not going to work. But I do think, you know, like you said, trying to simplify things and try to get them to play their strengths and stay away from or avoid their weaknesses and just try to play hard.
Most definitely, because you're out there playing basketball, man. Them young men loving that, man, because, you know, this has been a trying year for all of us, right? And just be out there to be able to play basketball is going to make those young men excited. So I feel like those young men should be hyped, know that Friday night, all things willing, they'll be out there putting that floating jersey for the first time this year and getting it in.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's you know, one of the things that we discovered throughout the course of the quarantine, the last one we had to take, was just that, you know, this opportunity can be taken from us at a moment's notice, and things could change. And you fast forward to us shooting around in preparation for a Wednesday game. I had just discovered like seven or eight, I think it's seven guys, they had never been in our locker room before, like their locker room. So trying to introduce them. So that's how fundamental that things are right now and basic things are. But I do think, you know, everybody kind of put a smile on their face and they just went out and they hooped. You know, the reason why we fell in love with the game was to try to have fun and go out and hoop. And so we're trying to keep that at the forefront. It's hard, obviously, because you've got all kinds of things going on, but trying to keep that at the forefront and of your mind and having fun and playing for each other is really important.
Most definitely. And also, man, you know, the Big West, I like what you all are doing out there, is playing those back-to-back games. How's it going to be for you coaching them back-to-backs for the first time this year like that? Besides those MTEs that you all played in non-conference, how's it going to be for you guys to know each weekend back-to-back there?
I think it'll be, you know, from a safety standpoint, it's probably the best thing that we can possibly do. You know, the hard part will be playing a team Friday and then turn around playing them Saturday. That will be the hard part. But from a preparation standpoint, it'll be a little bit more familiar with our guys, to our guys, especially having eight new guys that aren't really sure, or not understanding how we do things because of the lack of time. And so I'm looking forward to that part of the process in terms of playing a team Thursday, Friday, or Friday, Saturday. And just preparing. And again, like we always talk about, is just trying to do things that we can control and worry about what it is that you can control. And then after that, I mean, it is what it is. You can't worry about that because you can't control it. So don't spend any time or energy towards it.
Most definitely. And I was talking to you about this group you're part of, Advancement for Blacks in Sports. Talk about ABS, and I think it's a great thing. I read the website, man. A lot of great initiatives, man. Go by what got you involved in that group and what are you all trying to accomplish out here, man?
You know, I think it's a great opportunity for advancement for Blacks in sports. You know, I think it's a group that that is about us, that is for us. It was started in light of, you know, all the upheaval that we were seeing in Minnesota and some of the other places in the country. But Gary Charles is a longtime, very successful AAU coach, and he kind of had the idea and started it and put together a group of guys and women around him, which I think is really, really smart, but it's really, really important that we understand the significance of Black women. And I think they have a very prominent role in the advancement of Blacks in sports, but Blacks in general. As we know, our vice president has been elected, and she is Black, and so I think it's kudos to Biden to navigate what it is that we have to go through. But again, going back to Gary Charles and his vision, I couldn't be more proud to say that I am a part of that organization, because like most organizations, they have a rally and cry, and as soon as things or time progresses, they kind of go away. This group is not going away. They're picking up steam, and they're really focused on, initially they were focused on just basketball, but now they're focused on all of the Olympic sports, gymnastics. They're focused on all of the sports to give us an opportunity to, number one, have a say in what happens, but then also be an active participant from our perspective, because we know we do everything and we do it really, really well. And so for us now to approach things the way that ABIS is approaching those things, I think it's really, really important. And it's a great opportunity because you'll see, I mean, football guys, you'll see basketball head coaches, you'll see volleyball head coaches, you'll see a little bit of everything involved for one common goal and one common thought. And that is the advancement of Blacks in sports. There's nothing else going on other than the advancement of us. And the thing I like about the group the most is that they, like I said, they're active. We have subcommittees that are active participant on issues, and five, not a bunch of different issues. There's five issues that we are really, really trying to push forward for us and about us. And we're focused on getting those things done. And like any other group, we run up against some potholes and some things that we didn't anticipate and we didn't expect. But as you know, I'm all about the struggle. It's a part of the process. You know, I think we'll be able to look back after we accomplish what it is that we want. We'll be able to look back and say, dang, we overcame that. We encountered this and we overcame that. And that is a true definition of what we're all about.
I love the eyes. All those eyes, go to weareabs.org. You see all those eyes. Those eyes to me say everything right there, because those who deny those eyes were never on our side to begin with. You know, that's how I see it. You know, I now I'm going to be honest with you, Coach. And you know, me and you are close and we're tight. I'll be real with you. Since this has gone down, my level of tolerance for those who want to push other narratives has ceased. There's no more tolerance for me to even give you opportunity to even spew your narrative to me anymore, because I can't do it, because it's too crucial now. Now it's no more being naive.
Yeah.
There's no more excuses.
Yeah.
No, you saw George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery, Rayshard Brooks here in Atlanta, and if you still telling me about both sides or thoughts and prayers or politics is not the end all be all, that screams to me, Coach, privilege.
Yeah, without question. Without question. I mean, you can mention those names that you mentioned, but I think as of recent as this weekend, there was a young man that was killed. That's an African American guy, and all he had was a Subway sandwich. Mm-hmm. You know. It baffles me that we are so quick, and I shouldn't say they are so quick to shoot and ask questions later. They're so quick to do away with us and ask questions later. And, you know, for instance, last night I was watching TV late, the news, and out here in California, for some reason, they always have these chases, these high speed chases. So, a guy will steal a car, or a young lady will steal a motorhome, whatever the case may be. And they go out through the city and they're driving crazy and putting all kinds of lives at risk and these things, and they chase them. My point is, why not pull up next to them and just shoot them? Mm-hmm. That's what they do to us. That literally is what they do to us. And notice one thing that I did not say was that the person that's driving or leading the high speed chase, it's never us. Mm-hmm. It's never us. So they never shoot. But I guarantee you, guy getting a Subway sandwich, going on about his business, going home or thinking he's going home, now he's lost his life and all he did was get a Subway sandwich. And to me, it's just, it never goes away, number one. There are things that we're trying to do, and I love this time. It's unfortunate, but the time is really, really good for us to speak. And understand this, there's always two perspectives. There's your and I perspective, and then there is always the other side. And they believe just like you and I believe. They believe and support their initiative, whatever it is. But in the same token, I think there are people that are like us, that think like us, that it's important that we recognize each other, but we band together to try to deal with what it is that we want accomplished and move on. Understanding that the other side is out there, understand that they believe the exact opposite, but those are the situations that we're fighting against. And I think it's imperative. And one of the initiatives that the Advancement in Blacks in Sports has really, really fought for is just us banding together.
Yes.
Us coming together and having one voice and creating one common denominator and one goal that we're trying to get accomplished. And again, I think this is the right time to do those things. This is the right time to not have a tolerance for BS. This is the right time to have the tolerance and use your voice to speak out and say, no, I don't believe that. In fact, I think that's wrong. I think you should not do that. You should do this. And this is what we're promoting. And that is what I'm most excited about with that group in particular. But us, Black people in general, there has to be some type of goal that we're after and achieve that.
And ABIS, I love what you guys have with the grassroots. That's what I'm doing right here in Georgia with the elections here in Georgia. The grassroots, because I'm going Black Voters Matter, New Georgia Project, Fair Fight. We're on the ground here if you're registered to vote. And we're not chasing those Reagan Democrats or those Rust Belt. We're chasing people like us who see it our way, because I don't have time to chase people on the vote. My folks can vote for me anyway, right? So we're trying to get people registered to vote who are see it our way, know the issues, and turn it out. And here in Georgia, 1 million people already requested an absentee ballot for this election on January the 5th. And yes, it's great you have Raphael Warnock, like a pastor, John Ossoff, a Jewish businessman, trying to get a change in Georgia, and Daniel Blackman for Public Service Commission that helps us with our environment. So we're here grassroots on the ground, finding people who see it our way, turning out more of our people, bringing our own people to the polls to affect change, because politics affects everything, Coach, whether the streets you drive on, your school you go to, the zone of your neighborhood. So I hear politics does not matter. To me, I hear privilege, because it don't matter to you because you good anyway. But for me and my people, our rights are on the ballot every time. My rights are on the line. So I have to keep my politics, who's getting in, who's getting out. So that's the message we're telling people here in Georgia, to get people out to vote for Warnock, Ossoff, and Blackman on the 5th here.
Yeah, no, and I think it's really important. And one of the initiatives that the ABIS talked about last week was supporting Georgia and just getting the information out there and creating a level of awareness for people to know. And one of the things that we talked about in our meeting last week was trying to do just that, creating a level of awareness so that all eyes are on the state of Georgia and we can be active participants from your level, not from the top looking down, but from the bottom, the grassroots, getting the information out there. And then not only getting the information out there, but what does that truly mean? What's the difference between Reverend Warnock and the other people on the ballot? Like, what is the difference? I was listening to them on Sunday speak a little bit. I think they had a debate. I think it was Reverend Warnock and the other candidate.
Yep.
And like you, I'm like listening to this, and all I could hear from the other candidate was a sense of privilege. Like, that's all I could hear, you know. But from Reverend Warnock, I could hear the struggle. I could hear his pain. And his pain is not just indicative of him. It's more about us. It's more about what we come from. And no disrespect to the other side, but I can't relate to that because I don't come from that. Mm-hmm. I come from this perspective and this side of the fence. And this is how I was raised. And that's, I think, to your point, that's what we're trying to put out, that every time there is an opportunity to vote, for every time there's an opportunity to have a voice, we need to take advantage of that. And I don't know that we have been as successful as we are now. You know, for the state of Georgia to have over a million absentee ballot requests
already,
that to me says that we're making a movement. It's not where we want to end up, but it's better than where we were before all of this started.
And that's what the Republicans playing the games with the voter rolls here. 190,000 people were purged off the rolls here in Georgia. And some people who voted in November were purged after the election, had to re-register to vote. So I've had so many people had to re-register to vote since the last few weeks we've been out here in the streets here, Coach. Besides doing the show, I've been with the campaign trying to get people, with the grassroots, trying to get this done. Because for me, I want this done for help people of Georgia, help the country first and foremost, but help people of Georgia who needs it. Gives them hope here, because outside of Atlanta, in Columbus, Savannah, Macon to a degree, Augusta and Athens, people here are hurting bad, Coach.
They're
hurting. And I come from that hurt. I've been there. I grew up on food stamps, Medicaid. I know what it is to not have, right? So I can't deal with people being hurting and being hungry and having to ask me for money, because, you know, I'm a good guy. I'm gonna give you what you need, because if I don't give it to you, rob somebody else and take it from them and rob them. So I already give it to you. My success and keep you getting a charge. You can get you a job down the road. So for me, Coach, it's so layered to why this is so important for us on so many levels.
Yeah. No, I think that's important, and I think people need to listen and understand and appreciate that, but also understand that you have an opportunity to be an active participant in changing those things. Don't just listen and just say, oh man, that's crazy. No, be an active participant. And also understand, like I said, that the other side, they're gonna do things to manipulate that. They're going to restructure, they're going to reorganize, they're going to do things that may seem daunting to us, but we have to keep the goal in mind, and we have to keep the task at hand and keep marching forward and keep moving forward no matter what comes our way. That's one thing that I do understand, like you know, no matter what, it doesn't matter. We've been taught to keep moving forward, and those that keep moving forward, they eventually see some type of success. Maybe not the success that we want, but we do see some level of change, some level of success.
And Coach, you know what I hate? What I hear coaches is, like these text messages are saying, why do you care so much? You've already made it. You have a good career. You have two good jobs. I'm like, I care because I was them. Yeah. I'm a break from not being where I'm at today. If I didn't catch the break I caught, I would still be struggling like my people are. So I will never not be for my people. And I was just funny, Coach, and they said, well, Jay, you should be a conservative because you make enough where you should worry about the money, the tax cuts. Like, that's not me. I'm not a sellout. Yeah. I'm for my people. I know where I came from, and I know where I could be if I didn't have the role I have or the contract I have. I know I know these things, so I will never sell out my people to make you comfortable, because I don't have to, because I'm going to be me no matter whether you like it or not. So trust me, Coach, I say is I lost a lot of friends who don't look like me and you because I refuse to capitulate and be the shield or the token or go with their program. Because that's not me. We had no idea you was this extreme and radical. Radical and extreme? I'm telling the truth about what's going on in this world. Yeah. Radical and extreme. Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah, no, they to me, I think there's two things that you said there is hope. You know, providing a level of hope for everybody for the future, that things will be better. But I think also the important thing is that you are utilizing your talent and utilizing your platform to help your people. It's not about you. It's about those that are around you. Nobody, in my opinion, or let's back that up. I don't want to be successful and celebrate by myself.
Yes.
I want other people around. I want them to celebrate a level of success. I want to celebrate their success. And I think that's the fundamental difference in perspective, is that it's not about you, it's about us. And making sure that we can celebrate, that everybody can participate at some level in success. And I think that's what drives you. That's what, you know, that's what drives me. And, you know, in the morning when my feet hit the floor, I'm ready to fight. You know, like I tell my team all the time, they think it's funny, but I am ready to ball up my fist and fight, get my marching orders and fight for what I believe in. And I believe in us more than I believe in me. And that to me is a fundamental difference and a significant difference, because it's not about me. It never is, it never will be. It's about those that look like me that don't have the opportunity to speak and say what it is that's important to you. And what it is that's important to you is the betterment of the people that look like you that are around you. Never is it you.
Exactly. So with the show, Coach, I want to feature a coach like yourself, Coach Smith, you know, Sheen Holloway at St. Peter's, you know, Jeremy Ballard. I want you all to have a platform knowing that you come to this show, know you're going to be treated with respect. And talk about your program. Talk about what you do. Show off your skills, because you all are talented coaches. But guess what? They don't come to you all unless something bad happens.
Or you
win a tournament game, get in a tournament, they'll come to you then, right? But not just on a random December day, I'm going to talk to Coach Taylor about ABS and his team, right? They ain't going to do that for you. Because, see, I feel like I want to give y'all be a voice for the voice. Let's give y'all a platform so you all can come. No, this show in Atlanta here has your back. It's for the black coaches, whether it be this, in the CIAA, the SIAC, the MEAC, the SWAC, Big West, wherever you're a black coach, you got a home here on the Boss Man Show. That's what I want to do with my show. Use this for good, help you all, advance you all going forward. Give you all play in this being Atlanta. Now I'm up in the country, right? People, 1.1 million listeners here in Atlanta. I want you all to hear about your story, because it's so important what you guys have going on out here at your teams. It's very important to me to make sure you all have a platform here on this show.
Yeah, we appreciate that. We appreciate the opportunity. We appreciate the platform. And more importantly, I think we should highlight what it is that you are doing. You know, your energy and your effort towards some of the issues is very, very important. And we as coaches, you know, the first thing that people got to understand is that when I wake up, I don't wake up as a coach first. I wake up as a black man.
Yes.
Lives in a society that doesn't necessarily, as to Doc Rivers' point, doesn't love us the same way that I love it. It does not respect me the same way that I respect it. And I am a coach second, because now I'm in charge of a group of young men that look like me that are aspiring to have some level of success. And if I don't be an active participant and show them how that is done, shame on me. Shame on me. And I'm not taking a shot at anybody else. I'm just telling you from my perspective what my days are like as a coach. The thing that I've found and gotten familiar with probably over the last 3 or 4 years is that no, I don't coach. I'm everything but a coach. I'm a psychologist in some way. I'm a father figure in some way. I'm a mentor. I'm a friend. You know, I don't care about or I found I know this, but our guys, they don't necessarily care what I want to do with the ball screen or what the coverage is of the ball screen until they know, does coach really care about me? I brought a gentleman in the other day in my office, and I was super, super pissed at him. And I let him know. I let him know that he was underperforming academically. And in so many words, I told him that if he didn't get it together, he was going to get out. And most people think, dang, that's harsh. No, that's reality. That's the truth. And at 11:15, you know who called me last night to speak and talk about basketball and talk about life? The same young men that 3 days ago I told, get it together or get out. Why am I telling you that? I'm telling you that because that young man knows that from this seat, I care.
Yes.
I care about his well-being, not just on the floor. Because on the floor, that like we've seen, that you that can be taken away from you at any point in time.
Most definitely.
But no one can ever take away your degree. Never. Ever. If you earn it, nobody can ever take that away from you, and they can never take away that experience that you went through to get it. And that's what I'm about. And that's what I'm most excited about for our program moving forward. And most excited about this opportunity is to come on your show and talk about those instances and not necessarily talk about, you know, winning and losing and championships and so on and so forth. Championships are a byproduct of what you do every single day. And if you don't teach those young men how to operate within the confines of what they've been given, they don't know. They're not, they all they know is what they see. What they see is everybody in it, or not everybody, but the guys in a nice suit and guys, you know, doing what they do. That's an Instagram story.
Yes.
Everybody puts the facade on that. You don't see the backstory of how they got there.
Yes.
You don't even know if that's real or not. All you see is the end product, so you think. And so what we're trying to do with all of our guys is just trying to create a level of work, a level of work. My oldest daughter said it to me best. You know, I was upset with our team, and She's like, well, daddy, are they doing their best? Are they giving you their best? And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
How do you know that? What are you talking about? She's like, well, that's what you talked to me about. And to me, it like centered everything. And it made me come back to myself. And it said, you know, it made me think about, are they? Because if they're not, then that's what I should be upset about. Shouldn't be upset about, you know, knifing through a screen or tagging on a screen. I should be upset. Are you giving your best, getting through that screen? However you do, that's what I should be upset about or happy about and celebrate.
Well, Coach, you know, I love this show because I can talk to you all about the stuff. It's not just the minutiae of wins and losses. I want to talk to you about the real. You know what I'm saying? That's why I do it the way I do it. I don't try to do it like all the other hosts do.
So no doubt.
I don't have no paper in front of me. I don't have no questions. I have to talk to you like a brother. I can talk to you like a robot. Like I got a question list. I go, okay, this question is, nah. We talk about life and go with it from there because that's how guys know who you are and whether they want to play for you or not because you're being real and authentic, not just the robot or the button up giving the canned answer of coach speak and because that gets tired real fast.
real fast. And guys can see right through that. They can see right through that. It, like how we are and how we operate, that real, it's not for everybody. But for those that do want to participate and want to subscribe to what it is that we do, come on and let's work.
No doubt. But Coach Taylor, man, you're the best, man. That was joy our business, man. Always fun. Good doing it on Zoom, which when people can see you, man. We can see you chopping up.
I appreciate it.
Okay, Coach, I'm sorry about your team, man. I'm sorry about that. What we saw on Tuesday night, brother.
Yeah, don't even mention that. My brother-in-law was saying something about that, and I just totally ignored him. I'm like, I don't even know that we have a season. I mean, it is. I'm not even saying their name. I'm not even recognizing.
I'm not either. hey, we got problems in Atlanta too, man. You know, which I told you off the record. I'm fine with that. I'm okay with them getting beat every week and blowing leads. That's fine me.
No doubt.
I'm glad you all beat them. I'm glad you did that.
No doubt. Yeah, I tell you what, they gave it to us too. That we didn't win it. They gave it to us.
So,
man.
Hey, so I'm proud of that for y'all for that. I'm good with that win. Come on with that win. Coach, thank you, man, for your time as always, brother. Hey, be safe. We'll be in contact real soon, man.
Look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Anytime, buddy.
All right, take care.